sunny, the high 85. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 69 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
And knocked down again. That was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Edge Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope you guys are ready for another day of some sports talk coming at you today. We're going to kind of go a number of different places. If you have seen the stream title or you guys are checking us out on the stream, we always encourage you guys to do that again. We do stream live via YouTube, X, as well as Facebook if you guys prefer to watch the show. I'm going to talk a little bit about everything we've learned so far during Alabama spring practice. Kind of do a little bit of an overview as we quickly approach A-Day, which is just a few short days away. This Saturday, 1 p.m. kickoff time. Again, returning back to the original scrimmage-like format. Everybody's fired up and excited about that, as we are as well. I'm looking forward to it. Maybe I'll get to see and run into a number of you guys as well. I know you guys keep asking. Yeah, we'll be there. Don't have anything set up in terms of like where we'll be or what we're doing, but normally, like I said, kind of hovering around the field area, but I'm sure we can figure something out, and hopefully I can run into as many of you guys as possible. That said, we will recap kind of some of the things we've just been hearing, learning so far through Alabama spring practice as it comes to a close. They got to practice tomorrow before going into A-Day, and we'll kind of discuss some of the latest things that we've been hearing, been talking about. Yesterday was media availability for practice, the last one of the spring. Plenty of clips coming out of that. So I'm sure you guys have been able to see a number of these players up close with all of the new angles and videos and all that stuff coming out. So we'd love to answer you guys' questions, because I know we haven't really gone to, like, you know, chat messages in a minute. So maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll load up on like a mailbox full of questions that you guys might have regarding this football team throughout this spring. And we definitely can discuss that and talk about it here on the show. If you guys want to jump in on the conversation and actually talk to me about it, well, we always encourage you to call us 205-342-9904. I know we had to get to some phone calls kind of late yesterday and kind of rush through them, but should have plenty of time today. Don't have anybody officially lined up. We'll see if Gray Robertson can join us, if he can squeeze in some time. That way we can get an update on the latest going around, not just football, but all sports. Baseball doing some really good stuff. A top 10 team right now. Softball number one ranked. I believe they both won their games that they've had so far midweek, which is awesome. So a lot of really good things going on. Plus, we got some more updates with the transfer portal, not with football, of course. Remember, there's only one portal. Don't have to worry about the post-spring portal anymore. But with basketball, with that portal, there are some more moves happening there, definitely on both ends. Hearing some noise about some potential targets. And, of course, I'm sure you guys have heard or seen that there was another name added to the portal coming out of Alabama. So we'll talk about that and discuss that even further here in a moment. I got some exciting news for you guys. I just shared it with Chase. And that news is, well, we got A-Day this Saturday. We're all looking forward to it and excited about it. And, of course, we're looking forward to Monday's show. Why? Because we're going to break it down. You guys, if you get to attend, we'll get to see this team in person. I'm sure you'll have plenty of thoughts, comments, and concerns and want to discuss it with me, at least I hope. I know I'm going to want to discuss what was seen Saturday in the A-Day scrimmage. But on top of that, which that's already exciting, we're going to be joined by none other than head coach Kalen DeBoer at the top of the hour on Monday. We'll speak to the head coach directly here on the Miller's Edge, and we'll get his thoughts coming out of A-Day, wrapping up this spring football as they look forward to probably having a little bit of a break as guys finish up school. You know, they'll still have some workouts and whatnot, but, you know, around this late April, May time is kind of when you start to kind of wind down a little bit before you really ramp back up for summer. So we'll hear from head coach Kalen DeBoer on Monday at the top of the hour. So really excited about it. We're kicking off the new offseason with the bang, and that will be with head coach Kalen DeBoer. So I'm sure he'll probably end up calling in, but maybe we can kind of convince him to jump on the stream if he doesn't mind. We'll see. I have to ask him about that. But head coach Kalen DeBoer will be joining the show Monday at the top of the hour. Chase, a couple things that also have come up on my timeline. You guys know I use X for pretty much my news source, even though that used to be, in my opinion, pretty reliable. Now all of these people use all these clickbait I guess bio, not bios, whatever, like descriptions. And I don't know. It's getting bad, but been a number of things that have popped up. Some more updates with the NFL draft. It's crazy how this stuff works, right? We talked about it, Chase. You know, there's a little bit of love for Ty Simpson. And as the season concluded, there's definitely, you know, some criticism how the season ended. And then it really started ramping up. I mean, we're hearing Dan Orlovsky and other guys, you know, really start, you know, shouting from the mountaintops, the praise for him as a prospect, feeling that he could potentially, you know, surpass Fernando Mendoza. He had his pro day. The talk continued even further. Then Fernando had his pro day. Then that started to come back up. And now I'm hearing reports again where it seems like, I'm not going to say the talk's kind of dying down, but it's kind of going back to, well, I'm not hearing too many teams say they're like in love with Ty Simpson necessarily. So it's kind of weird, man. It went from, and I guess it's not weird if you know how the draft works. This is pretty standard, but it went from, I mean, the guy was in the conversation of potentially being the top quarterback taken, which who knows if that was just a few people hearing or saying that or what, but now it's kind of going back to, well, he's really viewed as more of a second round pick. And that's coming from a number of folks that cover the draft pretty heavily. So it's kind of interesting, but maybe we'll hit on some of those latest updates. I also saw a clip of another former Alabama player that transferred. I know you guys love getting those clips and hearing their thoughts on, you know, transferring in I guess, Alabama. But this one wasn't bad. I know it was Wilkin Formby. He was speaking to the media. Now he is at Texas A&M and kind of discussed, you know, his reasons for transferring. But maybe we'll play that clip and kind of respond to it, get y'all's thoughts on that. Plus, this isn't about transferring, Chase, but this was something that definitely caught my attention because we've been talking about executive orders. We've been talking about trying to put a cap on things, keeping things balanced, making it as, you know, as even and equal as possible, restoring balance back to college football. And I mean, this is just kind of proving the whole executive order thing, right? For all the people that were, you know, complaining about it, making it seem like you're trying to take away from players. I'll just throw this one out here. Jeremiah Smith, who we all know and probably agree that he's, I mean, arguably the best wide receiver in college football. I mean, a lot of people say he's probably the closest prospect to Julio Jones that we've seen in quite some time in terms of the size, the stature, just the way they play the game, big physical specimens out wide. Well, this Ohio State wide receiver, he had some interesting comments, Chase. This comes from On3. We've been talking a lot about transfer portal and guys getting paid and how it's starting to get out of hand. Well, I don't know if you've seen this yet, Chase, but Jeremiah Smith told Chris Lowe, a good buddy of ours here on the show, that he could have made, get this, over $10 million easy if he had left Ohio State. But he claims that he came to Ohio State for a reason, to win championships, develop as a player and a person, and keep building on this legacy. Which, to be fair, the former wide receiver coach that was at Ohio State, he just got hired off elsewhere. I mean, was arguably the best wide receivers coach in the country, right? I mean, you look at his development, the guys that he's put in the league. I mean, I don't think many people would argue. Brian Hartline, I think is his name. But I get it. I'm not going against what he's saying. I fully believe if you're a wide receiver and you're looking at development and having a chance to play in the postseason, compete for national championships, they just won one not long ago. I mean, he's not lying on that front. But $10 million, Chase? Come on, man. Chase, hold on now. We just were, like, you know, shocked when we heard it was like $6 million. I think Ty was talking about $6 million. We know some of these quarterbacks that are linked to Miami, we're talking $5-6+ million. But $10 million for a wide receiver. Hell, Cam Coleman, who's a really good football player, maybe hasn't necessarily lived up to all his expectations. Granted, he was at Auburn. They've struggled. They haven't had the best system, I would imagine, for a guy like that. But $10 million for one wide receiver. I'm going to have to look and make sure I'm understanding this right. Maybe it was a two-year deal, which would make it $5 million a year. Still a whole hell of a lot of money for one guy, but at least you're like, okay, we've already heard about receivers, $2, $3 million around that range. $5 million for this cat, I mean, wouldn't be too far-fetched. But $10 million, Chase? Help me make sense of this. Do you think he's, I mean, I don't think he would sit there and lie. Who do you think offered him $10 million? I think I got to guess. Who do you think, Chase?
Man, that whole Ohio State booster club is offering him that. They do not want to see him go.
Unless you're saying they're matching it, but he's saying if he had left, he could have easily cleared $10 million. Yeah, he said, no reason to go back home, not when I'm at the best place in the country. I came to Ohio State for a reason, win championships, develop as a player and a person, and keep building on this legacy. I might have grown up in South Florida, but I'm a Buckeye. That's not changing. I wasn't going anywhere. So even if he's just kind of talking in that sense, I mean, it almost sounds like he's talking about, yeah, I'm from South Florida. Well, we know there's a school, a prominent school down in South Florida that is known to hand out some bags. Sounds like he might have been, you know, kind of alluding to maybe Miami, but he went on to say over $10 million easy. And it says he was smiling as he said that. Hell, I'd probably be smiling too if I know I could have. I had offered $10 million to sit there. He said, but that's not how I operate. Miami wasn't the only school making a push. So I guess he's, I mean, maybe, I don't know if he flat out said Miami. Maybe I skipped over it. Maybe they're just alluding to it since he said the whole growing up in South Florida thing. I think we all kind of assumed it might have been a school like Miami, but goodness gracious, man. That's kind of crazy. I mean, Chase, I'm not going to lie to you. I understand he loves Ohio State. Listen, he's already done some great things at Ohio State. We all know that. I mean, $10 million to return home, man, that's pretty tough. But I will say this, and I'm not saying, you know, he comes from not the best place, but I do know it is a common thing. Sometimes you got to be careful going back home, especially when you've kind of gone off and done some really good stuff and you got a lot to look forward to. You got a lot of things going in your favor. Honestly, probably was a better idea to maybe stay away from that. Not saying his situation back home was unfavorable. Hell, I mean, I feel like I grew up in a pretty, had a decent, you know, childhood or, you know, upbringing, right? But still, even I didn't want to necessarily return home because you got the same people from high school, same people that are doing stuff. There's going to be a lot of people that are probably doing things that aren't good or they don't have as much going for you, or for them, I should say. And sometimes you got to be careful surrounding yourself with that. And I don't know, probably smart to stay put at Ohio State, even if that meant sacrificing several million dollars, which sounds crazy. But to think about it, I mean, this guy is going to end up being, I would imagine, a top 10 draft pick. I imagine he's going to be a top 10 draft pick. And we all know if you're, you know, one, two, or three, you're talking 30-something million dollars guaranteed to 20-something million dollars. And by top 10, you're still looking at roughly 15 to maybe $20 million guaranteed, if I'm not mistaken. So I don't know. I want y'all's thoughts on that. But I think it's safe to say this is why we need the whole executive order thing. Because if you got one school that's willing and able to pay $10 million for one wide receiver, we know Michigan paid like 12 for Bryce Underwood. But that was over like the course of 3 years, I believe. So you're averaging $4 million a year. But 10? Nah, man. Who is supposed to compete with that, Chase? Like, if you're only going off the cap, man, the cap's $22 million. That's damn near 50% of the whole revenue share cap for the whole athletic department, not even just football, man.
Christian, talk about it, man.
Like, $10 million is what most people are probably, you know, delegating to the football team alone. $10 million for one guy? For one guy, and you need how many? What's the roster at? I think around like at least 80 or something like that. Goodness gracious, man. And this is exactly why they got the executive. So all the agents and all the people that are complaining about, why is there an executive over there taking from the players? Nah, not necessarily taking from the players, man. Let's just call a spade. He made $10 million, man. I don't even think he should waste no time going to the NFL. Park your rear right there in college and just make all. Dudes don't even really have to go to the NFL anymore if they hit it right in college. Now you can make more money in college than the NFL now. And get offered a house for the folks, nice Tahoe for the folks. Hell, you know, free charter. Like, ooh, man, it's crazy nowadays. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We'll keep talking about that a little bit. We'll discuss everything we've learned about Alabama so far through the spring. A lot of nuggets that have been out there, a lot of intel. We've been talking about a whole bunch of it. I kind of want to start putting a bow on everything, even though it's not completely done. We still got a couple more days of spring ball, but I want to start kind of putting a bow on everything we've learned and kind of discussing it and answering any questions that you guys might have that might be lingering ahead of A-Day. We'll do all that when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
It really is only $7. $7 box feast from KFC. Trust us, it's finger licking good.
Prices and participation may vary. Tax, tips, and fees extra.
Roll Tide, the best sports talk, period. Your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're going to dive into some Alabama football talk here in a moment, but Right now, we're talking about this whole Jeremiah Smith deal that came out. Speaking to Chris Lowe, just talking about his decision to stay at Ohio State. It's kind of crazy to me, Chase, how different it is where, like, every year it's almost like, oh, why did you decide to stay? Like even just if you think about it, like, even just wording things like that is crazy that you have to almost congratulate guys for staying firm on their commitment, right? You sign and I get it, some of these quote-unquote, not NIL, but NLI, right? These letters of intent and these scholarships that they sign. Nowadays, I'm sure it is really majority of the time like a year-to-year thing. I know a lot of schools have started doing that. But it is just crazy to me that it's almost like we congratulate guys just for staying at a school, which I get it. I mean, it is worthy of praise because it's not very common. But the fact that we're at this point is just kind of wild. But he was discussing, you know, his reasons for staying at Ohio State and not like he would have any other reasons other than money. I don't see why he would want to leave Ohio State. I mean, he's the man up there. During the break, we were reading off the list of accolades that this young man has acquired through two short years of college football. Just to recap, college football national champion, his freshman year, Rose Bowl MVP last season, unanimous All-American, first team All-American, two-time Big Ten receiver of the year, Big Ten freshman of the year, two-time first team All-Big Ten. I mean, literally any accolade that this guy could have won, he's won it at this point, except I guess the what's it called? The Biletnikoff, right? He didn't win the Biletnikoff. I can't remember. I'm drawing a blank. I don't think he did. And they definitely probably would have said that. No, he didn't win it because the guy from who won it last year? I can't. I'm drawing a blank, Chase. Anyway, I don't think he's not won yet. But regardless, he's probably going to win it this year. I'd imagine Ryan Williams would like to have a word about that. If Ryan can return to form and do some big stuff, I mean, I think he'll definitely be in that conversation. But I think right now, probably the betting favorite. Because we all know, and I'm not saying things are political. Oh, Lemon? Oh, yeah, from Southern Cal? Was that who won it? I'm not saying things are political, but we all know, like, when you got a guy like this and they're going into that prospect year where they're about to leave, sometimes they don't have the highest production. And I don't think it should only be about numbers on a piece of paper because that can definitely be tricky. But we always know, I mean, the guy, they're going to have some heavy influence on that. You know what I mean? Dang, man. Somebody said Ryan's not in the same class as Smith. Well, there was the conversation their freshman year, and everybody was kind of going back and forth. And at that point in time, I think there definitely was, a conversation to be had. I mean, I think still a lot of people favored the bigger body receiver who really had, I'm not saying he had the same level of athleticism because it is a little bit different, right? But he wasn't too far behind. And just seeing how productive he was his freshman year, I mean, helping contribute. Yeah, I think Travis Hunter won it in 2024, but then last year somebody else. But I would put a lot of money that this guy's going to win this upcoming year. That said, there was a little bit of an argument between these two guys their freshman season. But, let's just call a spade a spade. I mean, right now I hate to make that comment because I'm riding with my guy Ryan and our guys. But Jeremiah Smith has separated himself, not just from Ryan, but arguably almost every other wide receiver in college football. Now, the guy's not perfect. I mean, he had a couple. Matter of fact, I think the opener against Texas, I think he's a little quiet that game. He's had some games where he's had some drops here and there, but there's no denying this guy is a generational talent at wide receiver. And I'm still just trying to wrap my head around the whole $10 million thing because it's just kind of wild. I try to look for some more context in that. If I had to guess, I'm pretty sure it probably was because he does have 2 years of eligibility remaining. I would not be shocked if it was 2 year, $10 million, which is like $5 million a year. He would end up only playing 1 year because we know he's going to the league after this year. Still a whole heck of a lot of money for a wide receiver for one season. But I just wonder how this whole thing is going to look, Chase, once this executive order is passed, because we've talked about it over the last couple of days. And we talked about some of the things that they're pushing for. And we'll hear from Adam tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to that. Again, shout out to our guys over at Lamprello Law Education and Advocacy. Adam's going to fill us in on everything about this executive order and also kind of how it will be enforced because it is a little bit different than, a full law and bill that's been completely passed. And we all know that they're threatening taking funding and all that. But anyway, I just can't imagine that that's still going to be a thing in a couple, I don't know, maybe a short couple of months, whenever. I don't know when this is supposed to get passed. But I don't see how you can afford to pay one guy, let alone a wide receiver, $5 million if you're actively working under the whole revenue cap thing. So We'll have to see, though. But Chase, I'm just wondering, man, like Miami, though, how do they get away with this? I mean, I want to say, what was the number they offered Ty, like $6.5 million? If you're offering this guy that amount, I mean, that's $10+ million in 1 year, at least for two players. I mean, they're clearly overboard. I mean, would you agree, Chase, that, I mean, like, we talk so much about Oregon and Texas, but are we sleeping on Miami? How do we know Miami's not the biggest spender? I mean, would you start to lean that way? That's kind of how I'm starting to feel.
Christian, I agree with you 100%. I think Miami is going nowhere. What they did last year alone, you know, they didn't really spend too much on their quarterbacks and their position players. So now that, you know, Jeremiah Smith is mentioning that, you know, kind of hinting at it with his hometown that, hey, like, I'm saying it, but I'm not saying it, with Miami being involved with it. So, yeah, I've known that Miami has had that collateral. They've had the money in the back end. South Florida, very lucrative, and, you know, with real estate, very lucrative when it comes to, like, you know, with boats and stuff like that. So I'm not surprised that they're in the running with universities like Texas, like Texas A&M, Oregon. You know, USC is kind of getting back in the running of things. If I'm Alabama, when is enough enough? They're going to run out of money at this point, because, you know, and you mentioned it with Ryan Williams, you know, he might want a little bit more, because I would imagine he sees himself in that limelight like Jeremiah Smith and so many other great wide receivers that are earning a bag. So when is it time for Alabama to either pony up or get this executive order really in order quickly? Because I promise you, other teams are gonna have to match this, and they will. It's just, I wonder which schools will do that.
You know, and to be clear, because I know everybody sometimes it gets all jumbled together. I mean, revenue share is completely different than NIL and the collectives and all that stuff, and that's how teams are able to go over. Because remember, the revenue share cap is a thing, right? Like, we have a revenue share, and there's only so much money, right? It was like $20.5 million. I know it's supposed to gradually go up and increase over the years, but these schools are still using collectives. But my thing is, the executive order sounds great. Like, I totally understand everything they put in there. I thought they hit on just about everything that I thought was necessary. But my issue is, how do you stop? What is the true, I guess, factor that's going to stop the collectives from being able to pay money to these guys via quote unquote NIL? Like, how, because remember, they have like the NIL go thing, and you got to pass these deals through that. But I mean, just like somebody said, and I hate to admit that this is true, but, you know, just like they mentioned, oh, but back in the day, all of that stuff was illegal, but you saw it happening. It's going to be no different. So it just makes, what I'm trying to say is, I'm starting to just lose faith that even with the whole executive order, man, like, I just don't think you'll forever be able to truly just stop people from pouring extra money in. Even when there's a cap, man, people are always going to find a way to bend and navigate around the rules. I mean, it is what it is. But just to kind of put a bow on this whole conversation, and I'll read some of y'all's comments during the break. The article does go on to say that he mentioned, you know, over $10 million. And as soon as even the national championship ended his freshman year, teams were calling his agent, you know, offering him all types of money. He obviously stayed put last season. And as you can imagine, the money and the offers continued to increase, and none of that was going anywhere. But he basically went on to talk about that, you know, he's got a good group of teammates there. He wants to continue to build off the legacy up there at Ohio State, and he really enjoys it up there. And I will say, I do respect anybody that turns down some crazy lucrative offer like that. I do respect it, because, listen, I mean, that is intriguing. Like, hey, you can come home and earn X amount of money. Let's not get it twisted. Allegedly, the number that he's seeing right now is around like $4 million. So if, in fact, it was $10 million by 2 years, and that's really just five a year, I mean, if we're talking about, it's like a $1 million difference just to stay put, and he likes where he's at, and he's going to be going to the league soon anyways. I don't think it's that drastic of a difference. However, the article does go on to say that two different NFL scouts, in fact, told On3 that Smith would have been a solid number one overall on their draft boards had he had been eligible for this draft, not even the next year's draft when he actually is eligible for this year's draft, he would have been in strong consideration of being the number one draft pick just after his freshman season alone. So, I mean, that's the type of prospect we're talking about here. So, I mean, I get it. He's a special player, but, I mean, it just sounds like we are just climbing fast. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll start talking some Alabama football, a number of other things that have been going on around the college athletics world. But we'll definitely start recapping spring ball, kind of some of the things that we've learned after hearing from various players, after seeing and hearing about the scrimmages, after hearing from Coach DeBoer. He spoke on, hey, Coach, we got some of that that we can pull up and listen to. He discussed a number of things as well. So we'll do all that on the other side right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Ram, Tuscaloosa's destination for iconic Jeeps. Drive a new 2026 Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4, priced at $54,529.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation.
Not available in every state. Only applicable for new auto insurance business. Rates will vary by several factors, including how you purchase the policy. Potential savings vary. Allstate North American Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases. Known for real care and relentless...
Right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
ZipRecruiter.
Stay locked in, Tide fans.
This is Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC,
the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
The Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Got a fun little start to the show today, man. We're talking about this whole Jeremiah Smith deal, but it's been leading to a number of conversations and topics, and we're kind of just letting it roll, man. So I'm enjoying this. I know we got Smitty on the phone lines. We're going to go to him here in a second, but I noticed, you know, there's been a lot of talk in the comments about Ryan Williams and kind of, you know, what to expect out of him this upcoming season. I know Jay Money made a point that said, I mean, he wouldn't be shocked if a guy like Noah Rodgers end up having a better season this upcoming year compared to a guy like Ryan, which, you know, I just was saying, listen, I think there's so many factors here, but if you look at Ryan's season last year, to be fair, I mean, for all the, you know, the scrutiny that he gets, all the criticism, I mean, if you really pull up his numbers, it wasn't as bad as a lot of people kind of allude to. I mean, we all know, yes, there's an issue with drops. We all know, yes, consistency was a problem. But I just want to remind people, I mean, you're talking about a guy that he missed a game or so. He had that concussion. He came back. And there's no telling if he really was like 100% for sure. I know you're supposed to be with concussions, but let's just call a spade. Guys are always going to do everything they can to get back on the field. They had him working in the slot, which was definitely different for him than what he, you know, had seen his first year playing a little bit more on the outside. But he still finished with 689 yards, 4 touchdowns. And then even you should include, you know, that was at Auburn. I don't think he was targeted at all. And was it maybe Missouri? I don't think they really looked his way much either, right? So, I mean, I'm not making excuses, right? You guys know us. We're honest on this show. We'll call a spade. And that would be, yes, you know, he did not have a great season last year, especially to his standards. To other people's standards, it's pretty solid. To his standard, no. But I do think he's going to have a bounce back year this year. I mean, scrimmage number one, man, he looked like the guy that we all thought we would see, you know, come to Tuscaloosa out of South Alabama that, you know, was breaking all those records and doing all those amazing things. And remind you, this guy is also a young player. You know what I mean? He reclassed, so he's still young, man. And I truly believe a lot of it probably, yes, some fundamental stuff he needs to clean up. And we talked about, I think, route running he could clean up as well. But in terms of the athlete that he is, man, if he can kind of get over that hump of maybe, you know, maybe a little bit of a lack of confidence, right, with some of those drops, fix some of the fundamentals. I know he does tend to be more of a body catcher, but I just truly believe, man, with the right work, you know, put in this offseason and working with the right people, and who knows, he got a new wide receivers coach. Maybe that helps his development. I think he's going to have a good, solid third year. Now, I don't know if it's going to be Jeremiah Smith-esque or at least like that type of deal, but I think it'll be better than what we saw last season. 205-342-9904. Let's go to the phone lines. We got Smitty up first. Smitty, welcome in.
Christian, how's it going today, good brother?
Man, it's going great, man. How's everything?
Good, good. Every day above ground is a great day. That's my motto.
Amen.
You know, here's the thing about this whole executive order thing, right? I want to chime in on this. To me, the money isn't the problem. It's immediate eligibility as he transferred multiple times is the problem. For example, Darian Metz, Miami gave him like $8 million, paid for his sister to go to school there, got him a crib and all that. Same thing Nick Saban told Javion Cohen to kick rocks about. I still would have loved to be a fly on that wall when he told Nick Saban he wanted him to pay for his girlfriend's law school. I would love to be in a room on that one.
He is tripping on that. Wrong coach to ask that, man. I mean, I'm sure there might be some other coaches that may, if they want you bad enough, make something shake, but Coach Saban? Oh, no, brother. You're dead in the water before you walked in that room.
And here's the thing, right? Mesa already transferred from Tulane to Duke, right? Miami would not have done all this if he had to sit out a year, because that would have been stupid. You know, that would have been financially irresponsible. So that's the issue. It's not even the money, because the money takes care of itself. And I know people are going to say, what about coaches? Let's use Kalen DeBoer as an example. What job is he going to leave Alabama for that's not the NFL? You know, he's good. Or like Ryan Day. And those guys, hey, we know these coaches start off from the bottom, work their way up. Because Nick Saban did not make his first meeting until he got to LSU. And I think he started coaching like in the early 70s. And, you know, if you fire a coach, you have to pay a buyout. If the coach leaves, he has to pay the school a buyout. And I just think that people want chaos, but if the pro leagues can have rules, why can't college? And no one's oppressing kids, because you also need rules to protect the players. Because like that, like some coaches may say, hey, we may get this guy in, we'll let you go, or you're not producing enough, you're going to take a pay cut. If you have rules, you can't do the pay cut, you know, like you do in pro sports. I just think that if you fix the eligibility, and it's like, here's the other thing people miss. I think basketball is a different animal than football, but basketball, they have crazier transfer numbers than football. We're being real here. They have crazier numbers. I mean, half the sport is in the portal, you know? But I think because no one, and we won't know this number till 5-6 years from now. Who's graduating when you transfer multiple times? And then when it comes to Jeremiah Smith, I ain't putting a chat. Miami did not make the national title game because they had the best receiver core. They had a good receiver core. They made it because they had good offensive defensive line who developed over the years. And you look at the NFL. When the last time a Super Bowl champion came from the team that had the best receiver in football? For $5 million for 1 year, I could get a tackle and a pass rusher for that, depending, you know, how you work things out. I'd rather pay for that because you just need good receivers. You don't need the best receiver to win. You got to have those trenches right in a good quarterback. And I think that people – and my last thing is this on Miami, right? Yes, they got money. You know, they got the boats. They got the beaches. They got the cars, the real estate, and the white girls. They got all that to offer you, right?
Hold on. Wait. Wait, so did he get too eager right there, Chase? Or maybe – hold on, Chase. You might hit that button. That's – I think the call dropped. There you go. Thank you. Either he got too eager right there and accidentally dropped the call, or
hey, dog, hey,
there it goes.
Hey, I'll sound like your dad for a second. Sorry, I'm getting on the roll like your pops. But
okay, I was like, wait, I'm like, who cut him off? I was like, I didn't think he said nothing that crazy. Now he was getting on the rocker, but go ahead, you're not wrong.
Hey, that's another reason why I'm surprised Arizona State ain't good at sports like that. If you've been to Scottsdale, y'all know. But the thing is, it's the eligibility. And I'm cool with five to play five. We don't need guys playing 8 years in college football. You know, if you get hurt, I'm sorry. Those are the breaks. And I just think you fix this eligibility thing where maybe you have to sit out a year. So be it. Because maybe if your coach leaves, be strategic. And I just think that it will protect the players as well, Christian.
Yeah, 100%. Well, here's the thing, though. When you mention you would rather spend $5 million on a tackle and a pass rusher, which that's my – listen, if I was a GM, whether it be in college now that we have GMs, kind of crazy to think about, but that's where we're at, or in the NFL, my philosophy would be the same thing. We're going to invest heavily in the trenches, right? I want good pass rushers. We know how important that is to affect the quarterback. Mm-hmm. We need guys that can get push up front, help our run game, and, of course, protect our quarterback. And I'm going to find me some nice weapons. I mean, you look at – you know, the receivers that Tom Brady was working with, not to take anything from them. I mean, they're good players, but that was kind of New England's philosophy in their game plan. I mean, they invested heavily, always had really good defense. We know that. Typically had some really good offensive linemen. We know the quarterback was phenomenal. Their wide receivers were really good players, especially in that system, but I wouldn't say they had a whole bunch of Jeremiah Smiths in their wide receiver core. But that said, you mentioned you would rather. Here's the problem, Smitty. Without there being anything to really clean this whole thing up, I don't think teams are really thinking, oh, we would rather. Miami's still going to buy a quarterback, go buy themselves a wide receiver, and also still have good trench play because right now nobody's following the true cap, and that's exactly why we need a cap because it should be we would rather, right? That should be the equation. We would rather, or we need to put this here instead of. That those should be the words coming out, but right now it's really, hey, if you're Miami, if you're Oregon, if you're now, I guess, Indiana with Mark Cuban's backing, not so much of we would rather or we need to do this instead. It's more so, why not do both? If we got somebody that's going to cut the check. And so that's exactly why it needs to be cleaned up. Yeah, you're 100% right on that. But let me ask you this, though, because I'm curious your thoughts. Because we brought this up yesterday. When they do, or well, hopefully it's when, but when the whole executive order thing is passed and there's supposed to be some hard cap with the revenue share that teams must follow, do you feel like a team like Alabama is going to be in trouble, given the fact that they have a very competitive basketball team that we know is going to need some reinforcements, several guys hitting the portal we know to recruit at a high rate and to get good players. And you just mentioned that basketball is a different beast. I mean, those dudes aren't cheap. We're talking about a few million per player with some of these guys. And we want to get past – listen, we're all happy about the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eights we've seen out of Coach Oates and the championships in the conference. And I'm not saying that we're complacent. Like, that's, trust me, I would take that over what I had when I was in school here. But we know people want to see the next step, and that's going to cost money. Alabama football, that's not going anywhere, Smitty. We got to put a lot of money right there. How do you think a team like our school, like Alabama, is going to handle this, knowing that you got two really good programs that both are competitive?
Easy. I tell you, it's easy, right? And I'll start with this. When it comes to football,
please tell me.
I tell you why, because it's choices, right? You got to make choices. and I'm going with it. First thing first, when it comes to football, the boosters got to stop thinking of script H trumps money and playing time. Sorry, it was trending that way towards Saban at the end, that Rose Bowl, when they wanted their money. But here's the thing, right? Some sports may end up having to become club sports, like some of your other Olympic-type sports and everything. And that's a choice you may have to make. With basketball, you got to be – if it depends on what it is, what your expectations are. Me, I just want to get in the dance and see what happens. Because Kentucky spent $20 million, and they flamed out big time. And so I think you have – this is, to me, it's not just throwing money. You have to be able to evaluate talent as well. And you have to be able to make tough choices with certain sports on your campus, which one's going to be club, which one's going to get some money, things of that sort. And you maybe have to cut out worrying about building a new smoothie machine and put that money into players. But the issue is, Chris, at the end of the day, is that we're not even talking about rev share. We're talking about the collectives. You're still asking fans and boosters to foot the bill. That should be the responsibility of the school and the conference. Because what happens if something like here, gas is $5 a gallon, and you know, and you may have to make some cuts or something, or you may have an economic downturn. I'm not getting political and just speaking facts here. I'm not, you know, where you may get laid off or you get sick or anything like that. You may not be able to get that $20. Or, you know, price of oil goes up. These oil boosters in Texas may be like, hey, no, hold on now. It's just getting a little pricey for us. And see, here's the other thing. With rules, right, in the NFL with collective bargaining, the salary cap incrementally goes up every year. When Ohio State won, they were $20 million. Now it's just two seasons, we're at $40 million. I don't care how much money you have. You can't keep it at up when you're getting no return on investment but fives. And if you don't win, that's so you see the pressure Sark is under right now. They got all the money in the world. That's something where I think rules will actually help coaches as well. And like I said, I think that you're going to have to make tough choices in some of these other sports that aren't drawing, that you may have to make them into a club sport, because you also got to remember Title IX as well. That's another sticking point. And I'll say this and I'll get out of here, land my plane. I don't know what this executive order will hold up, but the problem is the one thing people miss is that federal funding part. Those school presidents ain't going to risk federal funding from the government for Darian Mensah or like Dylan Raiola or the third string left tackle that he could play right now. It ain't going to work that way. They ain't messing up that funding. And I just think that you have – but the main thing is, Chris, you have to collectively bargain. And people may worry about these players going on strike. If you only got 5 years to play five – you ain't going on strike for too long. just being real. And true. It will also help with agents. In pro sports, agents ain't taking 20-30%. They're getting 3%. And that will that's protection also. And these agents are certified. Not your homeboy, not the guys that boys in the back say you're getting $20 million here. No, these are real people, real structure. And I really believe structure will protect these kids. From shady agents that if the coach want to move on, hey, you got to pay me my money. Like in the NFL, they let you go. They still got to pay out some of your contract if you got cap money still. So I just think that you have to come up with rules and everything and collectively bargain with these kids and have some structure there, and you can protect the players as well. But hey, you have a good one, Christian.
Absolutely, Smitty. I appreciate you too, brother. Yeah, no, I think that all that probably is coming as they continue to make a number of these changes that allegedly should be here pretty soon. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We wrap up hour number one. Then we'll hit this top of the hour break, and we will finally dive into some Alabama football talk, things that we've learned so far through the spring portion of practice so far. We will hit all that when we come back after this quick timeout. You're listening to the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Wednesday edition of The Game, we'll feature All-American offensive lineman Mike Johnson. We'll talk about the offensive line, what he expects from A-Day, and a lot more. We'll talk with him. We'll talk to Aaron Torres from Fox Sports, national college football and basketball analyst right here, starting at 2 p.m. on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. And streaming worldwide on the free Tide app.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-914.
9,000 for a free consultation, no fees unless we win. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be formed is greater than that of other lawyers.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partner.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case in this. I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A sunny sky this afternoon, the high today 75, clear tonight, the low 51. Tomorrow and Friday, mostly sunny both days. The high tomorrow 76, the high Friday 80. Saturday, warm and dry, partly to mostly sunny, the high 85. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 72 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Tide 100.9.
WTBC. We just heard a quick clip real quick because we got to hit this top hour break. I don't know. I mean, we got about a minute. We might as well play it real quick anyways. Will Conformi, former Alabama offensive lineman, transferred to Texas A&M this offseason. Well, he spoke to the media after one of their practices, I believe this week. And this is what he had to say in regards to why he decided to transfer to Texas A&M.
Playing for Alabama, you would kind of watch different teams while you're watching film. We would play similar teams that A&M would play, and I would see their offensive line getting after people. And so I had to make a decision that's best for me, where I'm going to develop the most. And I feel like Coach Cush has done a great job. His track record speaks for itself as far as developing players. And so I needed to take a next step in my game, and I feel like coming here is really going to do that. I didn't really want to, but I knew that this was right. And I had a lot of reasons to stay, but there was also a lot of good reasons to leave. So it was a tough decision, but I graduated from Alabama. I started there for a couple of years. And I mean, it's a special place to me, and it's always going to be a special place to me. And I didn't want to leave with any bad blood or burn any bridges. I still got a good relation with everybody there. And so that was big for me, not burning those bridges, because I love those people. But this is what's my chapter. It's the next chapter for me. So that's what I had to do.
Very mature response for Wilkin Formby, former Alabama offensive lineman. Said he felt like it was best for, you know, his career, his development, and didn't want to necessarily do it, but he wanted to do it the right way. Has a lot of love and respect for the people here. He is from Tuscaloosa, and it makes plenty of sense. But like I said earlier during the break, man, never going to wish any, you know, ill will on any guy that decides to leave. That's their life, their story, and ultimately they do what's best for them. And I always am a firm believer, man, Alabama will do what's best for them as well and bring in who they feel necessary will replace these guys. That said, we got to hit this top of the hour break. We come back, we dive into finally what we've learned from Alabama football over the course of spring practice. Plus, I mentioned, speaking of the top of the hour, Coach DeBoer will join us at the top of the hour on Monday of next week, and we'll get his recap on A-Day, what he thought of his program over the course of spring, all that good stuff. But he did speak to the next round earlier today, and I know we got a couple of things we can dive into and discuss from that. So we'll do that on the other side right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
TBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Brianna Murrow.
In Major League Baseball, the Yankees outscored the Athletics 5-3. The Rangers edged the Mariners 3-2. The Cubs defeated the Rays 9-2. It was also announced that Cubs pitcher Cade Horton will undergo season-ending Tommy John surgery. The Guardians walked it off against Royals 2-1. The Giants have snapped a four-game skid by shutting out the Phillies 6-0. The Rockies beat the Astros 5-1. And the Braves defeated the Angels 7-2. Jorge Soler and Reynaldo Lopez were both ejected in the fifth inning after a brawl ensued when Soler came at Lopez on the mound. In the NBA, the Thunder extended their win streak to 6 as OKC curb stomped the Lakers 123-87. LA has now lost 3 straight. Kawhi Leonard scored 34 as the Clippers took down the Mavericks 116-103.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partner.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start.
Roll Tide.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation,
location, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
WTBC. We're going to shift gears a little bit and start talking some Alabama football and really dive into what we plan on talking about today, which we still got a whole another hour to do so. What we've learned so far through, I don't know, was like 11 spring practices so far. You got one more tomorrow, then you got 8A this weekend. I saw Jake comment early in the show that he was under the belief that there might be another practice remaining following A-Day. Now, according to the schedule that I have, I was not aware of there being another practice. I mean, we've always ended things on A-Day. I mean, I've never, to my knowledge, seen another practice after that, which A-Day would make, it should make 13 total, right? Because you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, well, 14 total, excuse me. So maybe yesterday's practice was the 12th practice. I'm forgetting the numbers, man. It's kind of all over the place, but you get the point. So to answer Jake's question, I'm not 100% sure. That kind of threw me for a curveball. But, yeah, maybe he did say that in that interview. DeBoer said there's two after A-Day. So they got two more practices after A-Day. So A-Day is the 13th. So maybe, okay, the count that I just had on that chart was wrong. So I guess you guys are right. There is another practice or two following A-Day, which is kind of interesting, man. Thank you guys for that correction, because I was under the impression that A-Day was everything. But now that means maybe I'll sneak up there. Not sneak up there. I don't need to sneak up there. But maybe I'll make my way over there next week then, if I got time, and we can make it work to one of those practices, which I'm kind of, it's a little bit different, Chase. Did you know that, Chase? I'll be honest, it's the first time. I don't think they even did that last year, did they? Do you have any knowledge on that?
Not to my knowledge. I don't think they did that last year.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's something new, but I don't know. Kind of interesting. Regardless, we got A-Day this Saturday, and we got a couple more practices next week. So there's no media availability for next week's practice. I do know that. Like, whatever they do next week at practice, that's just for them to get better as a football team. So I don't know if they plan on scrimmaging one more time to wrap up the spring. I don't know, man. I have to ask. I definitely have to ask. Regardless, speaking of next week, we will have Coach DeBoer on the show Monday, which leads me to believe they're thinking they'll probably go Tuesday and Thursday. Who knows? Alpha says, I actually like a little practice after. So you can, I guess, you know, get to the lessons that you learned on the field immediately after. Sorry, some of those typos you guys have maybe throwing me off, but I guess that's a fair point, Chase. Normally what it would be was you have A, like for us, we would have A-Day. It would conclude. That would be like, A-Day was kind of like the putting a bow on the spring, and it really was kind of like, I call it a celebration, meaning like, not like some big old celebration, but more so like you put on a show for the fans, they all get to come, and then we do the awards, they hand out the awards afterwards, like the spring awards right after. I want to say they handed out the awards, and then we get on the bus, go back to the complex, and everybody's families and stuff are there. And it's like, hey, that's signaling the end of spring. And then we know, hey, we got some workouts. We got to finish class. And then we're gearing up for our vacation pretty much, which is, you know, several weeks during the month of May before we get back to the grind for the summer program. But it sounds like these guys, man, they're going to put on a show on Saturday and get right back to work. Might not be a bad idea. I get where you guys are coming from. I mean, if you think about it, you go practice, during A-Day, got to have a scrimmage in front of the fans, and then you still got two more practices to kind of come back and maybe correct some things, right? Especially if you treat it, if they treat it like a game somewhat, maybe not too serious, and I know they're still going to be limited. They're not going to put everything out there. But if you take that approach and then you come back the following week and you still have two more practices to kind of do corrections, you can always do walkthroughs, which is very common. I mean, they do walkthroughs even on non-practice days. That's normal. But to actually have true practice reps and opportunities to do corrections, I think that's kind of interesting. Maybe not a bad idea. We'll ask Coach DeBoer about that next week when he joins the show on Monday at the top of the hour. Speaking of him speaking to the media, he did join Hey Coach a couple days ago. And so I want to play a quick little snippet here. And I know we mentioned a couple guys. We'll listen to that here in a second. But let's just start here. This was Head Coach Kalen DeBoer joining Roger Hoover and Tyler Watts on Hey Coach.
What I love about right now, what we're doing is just everything, each and every day, is just a steady, incline of what we're bringing and how we're getting better. There's the highs, but the highs aren't so high where all of a sudden there's a drop off with the lows. And so every day isn't perfect, but these guys are bringing an attitude. They're bringing an effort. That's what I expect out of them. That's the ask that I have for them. That's the ask that I have for the staff.
And there's been a lot of turnover as well with your group ever since the Rose Bowl came to a close. What have you liked about some of the new guys that arrived in January?
They're excited. They're excited about the opportunity to get to Alabama, and they're really appreciative of the resources. They're appreciative of the staff, and I think they're appreciative of their teammates and how that well they've been accepted in. And a lot of that goes both ways, right? When you put the work forth that's expected in our program, you'll be accepted in, because our guys that are here, what do they want? They want to be successful. They want to have a great football team, a great football season this fall. And when you come in with the right attitude, put forth the effort, show that you got some accountability and discipline, the guys that were here, they'll open their arms and help show you the way and help teach you the things that you don't know.
So a lot's changed over the last several years in college football. One that's really stuck out with us former players is guys changing jersey numbers, and that continues to change. Have you or any of your coaches kind of caught yourself yelling at the wrong guy, thinking it was someone wearing last year's number?
I give some guys a hard time because some of the newcomers that come in are wearing guys that wore jerseys before, right? And those guys moved to different numbers. And I've said, man, that other guy wears your jersey a lot better than you used to. So, we've had some fun with that. But, those guys, and sometimes it's, the number that they finally wanted to get back to, which was maybe their high school number or the number of a parent. And, sometimes there's more to it than what you think. You think they just want a jersey number to switch to a single digit, but sometimes it's in honor of family, friends, their high school number, whatever it might have been.
You talked about the buy-in being and the kind of the how they're continuing to progress. Is there any point, how does it take longer to kind of build that identity of a football team? Because I know you always want to improve on things that maybe you didn't do great last year. You want to be as well balanced or on both sides of the ball as you possibly can. Is that something you as a coaching staff can force, or does it have to just organically kind of mature?
You have to be intentional. First of all, you're trying to reestablish what you want your program culture to be, and you can't take anything for granted when it comes to what the expectations are. And so, again, the coaching staff being very intentional on what it's supposed to look like, our players that are around really kind of showing the way. We got to be, very clear on what's helped us win and where we've fallen short and why when we take a look at it. And it might be, over the course of and trends of what our program's done in the last 2 years and what we've been trying to get across to our guys. And then also just taking in what's been successful with the playoff teams, the teams that were successful and, why a team won a national championship and, why teams, rise to the top. And there's a lot of times there's some reasons for that, right, that are consistent with the best teams in the country.
Just kind of curious what your thoughts are on spring training or spring practice in general. I know last year we weren't able to have a spring game. It was more of a organized structure there. Do you enjoy that, or do you kind of think that college football would be beneficial moving more to like an OTA type of
Well, either way, we'd be out on the field coaching, and it just depends on when that timing is. I mean, this is what you're used to as a coach and at the college level, and so this is what the routine, kind of the mindset and how to develop and build your team at this time of year. But, everything's evolving. Everything's changing. As we figure out a portal window, maybe that someday is different than what it is. I'm not saying better, because I don't know what is the best, I know it's hard when some teams are playing. It's hard when you're playing and the portal window is right around the corner. It can be a distraction, for some guys, but, I'm open to evolving. There's always some way to do things better.
I think 30, 40 years ago, they used to have former players would actually scrimmage the players.
Yeah.
Any chance me and you could get out there and take on these guys?
Not me. I know that, but I've seen some of the alumni, have gone through the program, and they're still in pretty good shape. So it'd be fun to see them out there. I think we probably draw a pretty good crowd if we put some of those guys out there that, put the pads on and get after it. It'd be quite a spring game.
I don't know, Chase. He might be on to something, man. Do I need to step out of retirement to throw on some pads one more time in Bryant Denny Stadium and kind of go line up again? I'll give Jackson Lloyd some good looks now. You want him to get some work working off the edge, man. Him and Javen James, they'll have their day cut out for him, man. What does that sound like to you, Chase? You want to see me strap it back up? You never got to see me, in action in person, man. You see some clips, but what do you think, Chase?
Christian, that would be so cool to see you play in person and give these newbies a run for their money. Show them what Alabama football is about. What would that be like for you to be back on the field? Just if you could kind of picture that, just the feel of the stadium, the feel of the fans, and getting that, that edge back, kind of Mills edge, quote unquote, but just like that thrill you get running out of the stadium.
Oh, man, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. I'll be honest with you. One of the hardest things of, not playing anymore is really those specific moments, right? That you really think back on, and those memories that come to you that you no longer can really go have. You just have to cherish the moments that you had previously. And I remember the last time I walked out of that tunnel in Bryant-Denny Stadium, and I was, overcome with emotions just thinking about that. Like, man, I spent the last 5 years of my life walking through this tunnel, and it was, a very regular thing. It's just what I got used to. And granted, you only did it about 7 times a year, right? You only had about 7 home games or so. But every time was special. And I remember the last time I did that, that thought stuck with me. I'm a very sentimental person, man. I'm one of those people that, man, I really cherish things and I appreciate them. And that definitely was special. And if I could have one more time to do that, even though it'd be totally different, it's not like I'm going out and competing on a weekly basis towards a common goal with my brothers beside me. Still would be really cool, but I'll be honest with you. I'm going to need Jeremy Giselle. I'm going to need Jeff Allen, all my folks in that athletic training room to make sure they got all the foam rollers, all the stretching possible. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I stay active. I work out. I mean, you guys can see the guns. I'll flex real quick on the stream. Now, I'm in good shape. Now, being in good shape from an aesthetic standpoint is completely different than football shape. So we are going to run this alumni game. They do the whole flag football thing. But if we're going to actually get some pads on and do old school versus new school, you talk about trying to make some money for NIL. Could you imagine how much that would sell? I see Justin's in here. He said, get Ruben, Reggie, and Christian to get after it. Imagine if you took an alumni game and did something like that. Now, I don't know if you could line up former players versus current players, even though that would be kind of crazy. Granted, we did do that at one point. I did practice against Trent Richardson and JP coming back and playing some quarterback. I didn't even know that was within the rules. But, of course, if it is and Alabama has a chance to get an edge, they're going to do it. And for whatever reason, I don't even remember the whole reason behind it, man. I don't remember if it was a lack of bodies or I don't know. I just know Coach Saban brought Trent Richardson and John Parker Wilson back to practice. And I just remember seeing them run out there. I'm like, are these dudes doing some type of photo shoot? Or what the hell are they doing in pads and the helmet stuff? And I'm seeing them warm up. I'm like, huh? Because I don't remember them really saying that. Maybe they did say in the meetings and I kind of checked out for a second. I don't know. I remember seeing them on the practice field. We practiced against them. But my point is, if they could do something like that, I feel like that would raise so much money. I mean, who would not go pay to go watch Ruben, Reggie? I mean, I'm trying to think of some of these guys who are a little more on the retired side right now. I know Tony's still a free agent, but get Tony Brown back out there. Who else? I don't think Rashawn's actively playing. We'll throw Rashawn in there. We need some safeties to work with. Who are some safeties? I think Eddie Jackson, I don't know if he officially retired, but I know he's I don't think he's currently signed, and he's doing a podcast, so he could probably be a candidate to come and play safety. I mean, listen, we would have a squad now because we're kind of getting at that point. If you think about it, we're about 10, 11 years removed from the 2015 national championship team, meaning a lot of these guys are slowly kind of, you know, working themselves out. Not working, I don't, that's a bad way to put it, not working themselves out of the league, but you know what I'm saying? They're reaching like that point of retirement. Every year that passes, there's more guys that I played with, or even some guys that came after, you know, they're done with football, right? I mean, we're 10 plus years removed from the 2015 championship game. In another year, it will already be the 10-year anniversary of my 2017 championship team. That said, I mean, I just was texting with Ryan Anderson this morning. We'll get big Rhino out here. D-line wise, man, those dogs are still running, man. They're running strong. A'shaun, Deshaun Hand, John Allen, Jaron Reed, they're all still actively playing, so I don't think we could use them. But I don't know. I had to come up with something. Offensive line wise, I think we got some good candidates for sure. There's a number of guys still doing some good things, but King Henry's still running the rock. Matter of fact, I'm trying to think running back wise. I mean, Damien, I know he had the neck injury. We could probably get Damien out there. Vinny Sinceri, he's on the coaching staff. We could get him. I don't know. I could do this all day. I think that would be it's not going to happen, but if it did, that would be wild. Oh, Ha-Ha is safety, of course. We don't have to go far to get Ha-Ha. He's right there. He's a skip and a hop for the training room. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Before we hit this break, Chase, who do you think will win that game? Former players versus current players. Now, I just threw out some dudes. We're not, like, old. I mean, I think the oldest we name would probably be, like, 33, 34-ish, which, I mean, that's still, I mean, this dude's still, you know, letting it rip in the NFL at 34. Who you got, Chase? You got the group of the washed up 30-year-old Bama alumni, or you got the young bucks, man? Who you rolling with?
I hate saying old washed up because like that's just because
no, it's a joke. It's a joke. We're not really washed up, but we have to sell it. We get to do that, right? Because we have to kind of, it's like a sneak thing. They're gonna think we're washed up, and they realize, oh damn, these dudes aren't playing. They're not washed up at all. But yeah, the washed up. Who you think? Team washed up or the youth, man?
And give me team washed up. I think playing in the NFL in comparison to college football are two different stratospheres. I think the NFL prepared them just for the level of physicality, the level of endurance you've got to go through, and the mentality too. And I just feel like what you learn in college football and take it over to the NFL, it's crazy. That's why a lot of NFL athletes are one of the best athletes in the world, because they're able to endure that much pain, that much endurance, yelling, just like on a daily basis. And I feel like college football nowadays, it's a little sweet, little kind of like, you know, you can leave when you want. Let's keep a spade a spade. But yeah, get me washed up the whole nine yards. Not a hitting two. Oh gosh, yeah, that's cool.
You know what? But I have to agree, and I was going to hit this, and I think the chat beat me to it. Now, third, fourth quarter, you know, that was our whole slogan, especially during our era. They still do the whole fourth quarter thing. That didn't go anywhere. But that was like the heartbeat of our teams. Hear me out. The fourth quarter, I don't know if we're still going to be able to hold our fingers up fourth quarter. Because listen, bro, like I said, I mean, football shape is totally different. I mean, I think Reggie might be pushing 300 at this point. I mean, brother, listen, we're going to get him in that first half. Now, second half, man, we're going to have to make sure we get a good enough lead first half, I think, to be all right in the second half. But there's some good names. I forgot, man, Mark Ingram. Mark Ingram's in great shape, man. We'll throw Mark Ingram in there. Julio, I forgot. Did he officially retire? I can't remember if he did officially, but he's assumed to be retired if he didn't officially do it. Bringing his ass back out there. I mean, man. That could get dangerous, man. That could get dangerous. All right, let's hit a break. We're way over. But I'm glad Tyler brought that up, because that was a fun little, I don't know, little hypothetical. Maybe we'll see. Even if it's just flag football, maybe we could do like a OGs versus new school flag football.
And Christian, even at this point, too, bring Nick Saban back as the head coach. Why not?
Oh, man. Dude, think about how much it would raise, man. I know Morgan Wallen's in concert. I think that's part of the reason why they're adjusting this whole schedule. But, man, you talk about raising some NIL dollars. Do a flag football game. They always do, like, the alumni flag football. But do it where you get, like, the... You know what I mean? Like the guys we were just talking about and either playing against each other, or I think if you did us versus like the current guys in flag football, that might sell some tickets, man. I don't know. You guys tell me. We'll talk a little bit more. Plus, we'll go to the phone lines on the other side right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC.
It gets started. And so can you. Just go to Medicare.gov to get the real facts about Medicare.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
Get to the all-new Tuscaloosa Mazda.
New location, corner of Skyland East Boulevard and Palisades Drive. TuscaloosaMazda.com.
TuscaloosaMazda.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A sunny sky this afternoon, the high today 75. Clear tonight, the low 51. Tomorrow and Friday, mostly sunny both days. The high tomorrow 76, the high Friday 80. Saturday, warm and dry, partly to mostly sunny, the high 85. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
From Tuscaloosa to the world,
download the free Tide 100.9 app
for all the latest on Crimson Tide sports.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Rolando McClain just got mentioned in the chat. You were absolutely right. He is definitely on. That's the other thing, Chase. How are we going to pick this team? This OG team, I mean, there's so much talent. Like, I don't even really know who exactly we're even going to. I mean, we're going to have to probably leave some guys out. Hell, I might even get left out on this thing. We're being honest here. I mean, think about all the talent. Now, some of the you know, really good talent that has come through here recently, like the Will Andersons, right? I mean, he's still playing, so he's not included. But I'm just saying, I mean, you talk about Ryan Anderson, Tim Williams. I mean, Anthony's still playing, so he wouldn't be included here. Terrell, he's not actively on a team, but there's a lot of talent, man. So we probably would have to definitely have some reserves for sure, but who knows, man. Anyway, let's go to the phone lines if Carson's still hanging out there. 205-342-9904. Carson, you still with us?
Yeah, buddy, I'm still here. I'm listening.
There he is. What do you think about this whole conversation, man? Ramon just threw a curveball. He said the Young Bucks are going to be faster And he said more, he said, he used the word physically, so maybe he meant physically prepared, physically equipped. Maybe he didn't finish the sentence, but I just took it as more physical. And I mean, my draw belt dropped on the floor. I'm like, brother, we just mentioned some dudes, man. I mean, even just Ruben's name alone, like, I mean, like, that's kind of crazy, man.
Look, you still think you got a little stick and stab in your bag?
Do I? Come on, man. Listen, I'll go tap this glass behind me and pull out this jersey, and just to show you, man. I got the helmet. The helmet is wide open. That's no problem. And actually, I got plenty of jerseys. I don't even need to break the glass on that one. But if I needed to, in a hurry, go strap it up. Matter of fact, I have a bag somewhere behind me. It's got bands in it. Oh, listen. If I get a good stretch day in, I go sit in the training room. I get them to rub my hamstrings real good. I get a nice stretch. Get in the tubs before, like I used to do before practice. Oh, man, I got a stab club. I got a chop dip rip. Now, I don't know if my groins can handle it, but I got a chop spin in me. As a matter of fact, I just saw some teach tape. I was going back and watching some of our stuff, man. They used me on some teach tape with my chop spin. It might be a little dangerous with the groins that I have because I did have sports hernia surgery. So they've got to be careful with that one. Well, but I got a stab club and a chop rib easy.
You get out in the yard a couple days, and I think you can probably convert speed to power still. I mean, I know it wasn't really your biggest skill set, but I know the long arms, you still got the go-go gadget arms.
Yeah. No, listen, now the speed to power was not my thing until my senior year. I finally learned how to use, you know, my long arm as my speed to power move. Right. And that, I'm not going to lie to you. You know, it's a deceptive tactic, right? You sell speed. I ain't got to be the biggest, strongest guy because I'm going to use my speed, right? You know, but Newton's law. Yeah. You know, it's speed. When you have more speed with the guy and he's light on his feet, I ain't got to be bigger, stronger than him. I lift him off his feet like he caught the Holy Ghost. It's all about technique.
Deception too. You selling speed, and then they ain't ready for it. They're preparing for speed, and then you just hit them one good time, and then it's over with. You're at the quarterback. So, I mean, I tell you, if you give, it sounds like those comic book arguments where it's like Goku versus Superman, and it's like, well, or Batman versus Superman if he had a month to prepare, or something like that. But I think I'll take the OGs. I will, because it's not like these guys. Like, some of these guys are still waiting on phone calls. You know what I'm saying? Like, some of these guys are still like they're in league shape. Not all of them, but like there's a handful of those guys who could strap them up. They get one phone call for the right number, and they're going to play in the NFL. You know, so if you have like a month to get, maybe not even in complete game shape, because I don't know if a month would actually do it. I don't know. But I think just getting acclimated again, I'll take the old guys for sure. Like, I don't know.
It all depends on how we prep, because I'll be honest with you now. We need our guys to lock in, because if they don't and we just show up not prepared physically and mentally, ready to go all four quarters, man. I ain't gonna lie to you, man. That could be a clear disadvantage. Somebody had a good point. We probably gonna be breathing like some fish out of water if we're not ready. But no, I think at the least we're gonna sell some tickets. We're gonna raise some money though.
Oh my goodness, it'd be the best thing on TV, especially if it was televised. I mean, that'd be crazy. But you're absolutely right. It would be a fire hazard for how many oxygen tanks would be on that sideline. I guarantee it.
Probably so. You ain't lying about that.
I just know how it is. I did play Division I football, and once you hit 30, I mean, it definitely isn't down. I mean, it isn't uphill. Like, you ain't still ascending. I mean, you definitely got some mileage on you, and that's no matter what, especially all the bumps and bruises and the physical wear and tear of already playing and then coming back to it. I mean, I know it wouldn't be easy, but I think I'll take the experience, the seasoned guys. You know, I don't know. That'd be fun. I'd pay a lot of money to watch that.
Oh yeah, as I think a lot of people would too, man. I think we could come up with something for sure. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'll go get in Yay Alabama's ear and say, hey, I know we do like some alumni stuff and it's great, but maybe we need to up the ante. Maybe we need to go recruit some of these dudes, like you were mentioning, that are kind of on the cusp of retiring. They still kind of got that phone handy. You set an event up with those guys and maybe include some current guys. There are going to be some butts in those seats. I can guarantee that.
Yeah, I mean, the guys who are like 1 foot in the league, 1 foot out, those are your five stars. And then the guys who are out of the game, but they used to do it. Those are like your three star guys. Those are your guys who it's like diamond in the rough. It's like, hey, if he comes in shape, you know, and he's ready to go, like you might have found a diamond in the rough. Like he might surprise some people with the physicality he's bringing. I don't know. That'd be funny. But I did want to ask you, after being up there at camp and seeing some stuff and seeing the scrimmage, how did the communication look with new position coaches? Did you pick up on it at all? I know you might have saw some drills and saw the way that they were competing, but did the communication seem more concise, or were you able to tell, or just the language they were using, how they were training up guys in between snaps, talking to them and stuff? Did it seem like there was a visible difference between maybe last year and this year?
That's a good question. If I'm being frank, I mean, I didn't focus too much on it. Like, it was probably more so me kind of observing it almost like out my peripheral. Like, I'm more focused on the guys, but kind of hearing kind of the communication between them, you know what I mean? But just going off of that, no, I mean, I like the new tight ends coach. I feel like he brings a different gear to him, which is expected. He's a former tight end himself, but coached offensive line, also coached tight ends. And you always know, guys that coach offensive line, you got to have fire. I've never been around an offensive line coach that has been, you know, laid back, calm, demeanored, you know what I mean? So bringing that element to the tight end room, bringing a guy like Josh Ford along, and then you having guys like Caleb Edwards, Marshall Pritchett, who they need that type of, you know, improvement to their game. You know, blocking in the run game is important to their development. I like that. I like that a lot. I think Clem kind of also has brought that with the offensive line. Now, I mean, don't get it wrong. I mean, Cap yelled at guys and got on them, but he also, you know, he did it, you know, his way. I just think what Clem brings is not only, you know, a lot of passion with the position. He played at the highest level, you know, played on multiple Super Bowl teams. But I just think the way that he can connect with the guys just feels a little bit better. I hate to say better like that, you know, but it just, I mean, you're talking about a former player, a guy that played the position. Guys are going to respond a little bit different. And I'm not saying only because he's a former player, but that works in his favor. If I had a coach that played outside backer in the NFL, it's easier for me to listen and understand. I'm going to respect and listen to anybody because, you know, they're my superior, right? They're my coach. But I'm not second guessing, like, man, like, does he really know what he's talking about? Because I hate to say it like that, but there's sometimes as a player, you kind of, you don't always buy into exactly what someone's telling you if you don't really trust them, whether that being they're new, have they done it before at a high level, whether it's coaching or playing. And I just think, you know, those two guys I just mentioned that are new, I like what they bring to the table in terms of the teaching, the coaching style. And I think it can be very beneficial for this football team.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. I mean, I'm really excited for the season. I wanted to respond to somebody in the chat. I know that they said, I saw a comment and it was like, well, DeBoer's just a skill guy. You know, he likes the receivers and he likes the running backs and the quarterbacks and all of that stuff. And I'm like, you know, on one hand, I could see how somebody would look at him and I understand the sentiment of what they're saying. But my thing is like, man, he's addressing all of the things that we struggled at, you know, like, man, you're bringing Clem in. You're like, our biggest weakness was the offensive line and our running game. Well, what do? We go and address it. We're trying to. I really like the direction. I don't know if this season, like I said last week, I don't know if this season we'll see it come to full fruition. I don't know. There's just a lot of development that needs to happen in a short amount of time. I'm hopeful that it can happen, but, you know, I think we're taking the right steps, and I'm hoping that we bring that fire and we bring that energy that we need to correct some of the things. And I'm still holding out for Coach DeBoer because I think he can make the tough decisions, and I think he's got us going in the right direction. So I'm hoping to see that this season, and I'm excited for it.
And yeah, and to be fair, I mean, that's what's most important as a coach, head coach, I should say. I mean, it's a lot more than just coaching football. I mean, you're overseeing so many things. You're the leader of a large group of men and women. I think it's important to know and understand, you know, if you're not the guy that's always going to jump people, that's not necessarily your style, which, I mean, he can get on guys too, but we know it's, you know, a little bit different, right? It's critical that you have other people around you that can be enforcers. You guys have heard me talking about that, and that's why I do like the hires that he's made, because to me, it kind of indicates, all right, these guys appear to be enforcers, right? That's their style, and that's what our position groups need. We want to be more physical. Well, that starts with, number one, getting the right guys, but two, having the right attitude and mentality. And that starts from the guys that they're listening to every day. And I agree 1,000% with Jake, man. Players can smell the BS. If you're a coach and, yep, and you're just kind of just faking the funk, or you know, you're not really qualified to be doing something, or you're not very good at it, especially guys that were here before and were being coached by the best guy to ever do it, they can smell BS, man. That's true. That's a very solid point. But I do like the additions that we've had, and hopefully we can see that, you know, pay dividends this upcoming season. We appreciate the call, Carson. I appreciate you being patient with us, man.
Yeah, no worries, man. Thank you. Roll Tide.
Yes, sir. Absolutely, man. Roll Tide. We got to hit a break. When we come back, we keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9.
So we can help you with the protection that's right for you and the things you love most. Allstate. Are you in good hands? 248-0303.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy.
That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Want to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Download the Tide 100.9 app today.
In the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. So I'm probably just going to go back and change the whole title of this stream, because we were really supposed to be hitting on what we've learned through spring practice thus far, which now we do understand, and you guys are 100% right, because Coach DeBoer did say this to the next round earlier, and I think he might have said it on that Hey Coach thing. I hadn't watched the whole clip yet. But there is going to be practice after A-Day. So flag on the play. I'm over here thinking, oh, it's the final week of spring ball. We're wrapping things up. Well, we're going to call an audible. We got Thursday. We got A-Day. Then we got two more practices next week, guys. Now, they aren't open to anything. Maybe they'll have some media availability. I'm sure they'll probably maybe have one. It's not listed on the calendar, so maybe they won't. But I don't know. Maybe I'll go catch one of them before they really put the pads away. Unless the A-Day is all great and stuff, maybe I won't feel the need to, but maybe I'll go up there. Who knows? That said, real quick, because I know we're going to have to hit a break pretty quick to catch up on our schedule here. Coach DeBoer did speak to the next round earlier today and gave an update on a number of things going on this spring. Again, he will be joining us here on the Miller's Edge on Monday of next week following A-Day at 12 Central Time at the top of the hour. But he goes on to mention, we still have four practices left, so just a little over two-thirds done. So to me, there's still a lot of work that needs to be done between now and when we finish next Thursday. I know a lot of times the spring game and A-Day is the end. Just with the way the schedule worked and being in the stadium and things like that on the 11th, there's a lot of things we have accomplished. I think we've been consistent, and it's a trend going upwards. I really don't feel, especially in the last five or six practices, I think it's been elevated. I was going to say not a drop-off, but it's been elevated as far as what you want to feel from an expectation. When guys take the field, you know kind of what you're going to get. That's key. It's easier said than done, and of course that's the goal, but it still has to happen. He went on to say, our guys with so many faces have come in. They were wide-eyed early on, really appreciative of what Alabama brings to them, whether it's the resources or the staff. That's all on them. It's been an awesome spring that way, and we've got a long ways to go. We probably have had more, for sure, knowns with the guys returning a year ago than we did this year. I can point to position groups that are, you know, pretty veteran, that got a lot of veterans, especially the defensive backfield. He goes on to say a number of things, but I don't want to just sit there and read a whole bunch. But I know he did mention that, or somebody mentioned maybe like the concert. I think there's like a Morgan Wallen concert. Maybe that was why they couldn't do, I guess, A-Day the following weekend, which makes total sense. But in terms of some things that we've learned over spring ball, I'll just start here. Number one, quarterback battle. Definitely heating up, right? We've learned that both guys have done some good. Both guys have definitely had some moments that they need to learn from and clean up. But without a doubt, whether it's for me going to that scrimmage on Friday, whether you just hear all this intel coming out, man, there's something special about the young man, Keelan Russell. That's not to say that, you know, he's running away with the job. In fact, I think it's still very much close. One could even argue that Austin Mack still is right there in position to end up being the starter. But the more practices in that we get, it's evident that a lot of people just can see something a little bit different in a guy like Keelan Russell. Now, the biggest question is, can he continue to grow, develop, and mature, learn, right? Get to a point where he doesn't have so many of those young player mistakes, which I feel like is going to be critical to him ultimately earning the job. So we've learned that. We've learned that this offensive line has already made progress in developing some continuity. If you look at it, pretty much named the starter at left tackle. Coordinator says yes. Head coach says not quite. If you look at it, he's getting majority of those snaps at left tackle. So you got your left tackle somewhat penciled in. We'll just say lightly penciled in. And he's looked good this spring. I can vouch for that. You know, I've seen him in action, and I think he's going to be a good player. Definitely some things he still needs to, you know, keep working on. But you definitely can understand the potential that Jackson Lloyd has, and he's had a solid spring. Rayson Delgado has stepped up. They've been pleased with him. Biggest thing is for him, he's got a plenty, you know, a number of snaps under his belt as a college football player, just at a different level, a little bit of a lower level, quite a lower level. But so far, man, he's held his own this spring, had a nice offseason program, and you're seeing that, you know, with what he's doing on the football field. So you got your center doing some good stuff. Then Michael Carroll, we've learned that, you know, yes, we know he can play tackle from what he did last year, but right now it seems like it might be better off having him at guard, giving you some presence on the inside as they work Javon James on the right side at tackle. So right now I would say what we've learned is the offensive line is slowly coming along. Now they have a ways to go, whether that was just my assessment. You've heard Coach DeBoer talk about it. Running game has had some small flashes here and there, but the consistency isn't quite there. And they struggle a little bit after pretty solid in pass pro scrimmage one. Second one, where there was a lot more pressure being thrown at them, they had some issues that they need to clean up. So there's some updates there. Tight end room looking to be pretty solid. Nice addition with Josh Ford. Some young guys really stepping up and doing some good things. And wide receiver room, which went from, you know, not having many players in it at all, is starting to look like there's some solid depth being built. Derek Meadows having a solid spring. Noah Rodgers being a nice addition to this team. And last but not least, the running backs. We know that guys like A.K. Deer and Daniel Hill look to build off of some of those, you know, opportunities that they received last year. But you can't count a guy like Kevin Riley and even a true freshman like Trayshawn Brown, who there's so many backs, not enough carries to go around. Some of these guys we've mentioned might not even really get a whole bunch of snaps, but we know that there's a lot of good competition going on in that running back room, and hopefully we can see that on the field this upcoming fall. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, We'll give our final thoughts on the defense of what we've learned so far, and we'll wrap things up on this Wednesday edition of Miller's Edge right here at Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Wednesday edition of The Game, we'll feature All-American offensive lineman Mike Johnson. We'll talk about the offensive line, what he expects from A-Day, and a lot more. We'll talk with him. We'll talk to Aaron Torres from Fox Sports, national college football and basketball analyst, right here starting at 2 p.m. on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to
Jeep Dodge Ram. Lease a new 2026 Chrysler Pacifica Select for $421 a month for 42 months, $39.99 due at signing.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next
joint pain and more. No referral, no problem. Search DCH Spine Care on Google. DCH's Spine Care Center. Get back in the game.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy.
Accidents, but Progressive's accident response provides peace of mind after major car accidents. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Limited availability in California. Driver is responsible for emergency and towing charges not covered by the policy.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
A sunny sky this afternoon, the high today 75. Clear tonight, the low 51. Tomorrow and Friday, mostly sunny both days. The high tomorrow 76, the high Friday 80. Saturday, warm and dry, partly to mostly sunny, the high 85. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 74 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Alabama fans are all over the world, and we are too. Download the Tide 100.9 app right now in the App Store and Google Play, and take the Crimson Tide everywhere you go.
And welcome back real briefly, real quick to the Miller's Edge. Just wanted to give a big shout and thank you for Lamparello Law, who supported today's show. Again, that is Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello. Again, he works with high school, college, graduate students on academic and career success, providing mentoring, exam and test taking preparation, subject matter mastery, application strategy, personal statements, resumes, long-term academic and professional planning, and so much more. Of course, that legal representation for students, faculty, athletes, whether it's academic misconduct, whether that's NIL, or all other criminal defense matters, they've got you covered with genuine care, passion, relentless advocacy, and of course, they're going to do it at a very, very affordable rate. 201-317-5115 is the number you can reach them at, or you can always email them, adam@lamparello-law.com. Again, that is Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, the official representation of the Miller's Edge. That'll do it for us on this Wednesday edition. We'll be back tomorrow right here, joined by Adam on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.